All right, so we got a few in here already, so that's pretty cool. We got and we got Matsy, who I want to get on a podcast pretty soon. I was just talking to freaking Prawn or David about that, and if you're interested in being on a podcast, man, you seem to know your stuff, so that'd be cool. We got Vincent or Vicente from Chile, which is awesome, the other side of the world. Ben Entertainment 115. You're gonna have to fill me in on what that username's all about, Ben. And we've got Kieran from Ireland, land of the hobbits. No, I'm kidding. I've always wanted to go there, actually. It's cold though, and we actually got a pretty hot couple of days here at the moment. It's been awesome. So yeah, we've got 16 in here already. So, hey, thanks so much for stopping in, everybody. And apologies for the technical disruption. It looks like I'm on about a 10-second delay still. So, when I finish talking, you hear it 10 seconds later, basically. So, if it looks like I take a while to answer questions or whatever, then that's kind of what's going on. So, yeah, so the audio is all good. And yeah. So Kieran just said, yeah, it's freezing and dark here. So it stays sunlight until 9 p.m. here at the moment. And it's yesterday was 38 degrees Celsius, I think, and today's 37. Tomorrow's going to be almost 40. So it's pretty hot. That's like, I don't know if you use metric or not over there, but it's over 110, I think, in the old school imperial system. All right, so we've got someone from Greece here by the name of Discovolos, and I've probably butchered the pronunciation of that. So thanks for stopping in, man. I appreciate it. We've got Blues Vibes from Denmark from C. Gradgard. I'm sure that's not pronounced like that, but you're going to have to bear with me. And we've got James the Geek. Move up the coast a bit, Shane. It's too hot in Victoria, which is the state I'm in. So, yeah, it is. It's stinking hot here at the moment. I actually really like it. I've got my farmer's tan back. It just stops at the t-shirt and all that kind of stuff. So it's great. All right. So I guess what we can do to start, if you want, we can do some Q&A stuff. Otherwise, I can just show you some of the stuff that happened this week with gas. So I don't mind. Oh, coffee dog, greeting from the Virgin Islands. Man, why is it that everyone seems to live somewhere that's cooler than where I live? That's pretty funny. Actually, Melbourne, the city itself, is pretty good, but yeah. So let's go back a bit here. I'm missing some of these comments. Ben Entertainment 15, the username was an idea of a mate. And it's basically the word entertainment with a B at the start because my name is Ben. Okay, it is clever. I just wondered if it was some sort of business thing or band name or something, maybe. All right, so we've got so Matt is from Berlin. That's cool, man. So yeah, let me know if you want to be on a podcast because I'm gonna have to get you on, man. We've got Scott from Scotland. That's cool. It's like saying my name's Mel from Melbourne. Very cool. North Carolina, I take it NC, unless that's a country prefix. But Alex is in the house as well. We've got 25 people here already. So, yeah, if you want to start with anyone asking me any questions, that's fine. Otherwise, I can show you my latest acquisition, which I'm like embarrassed about. But we can start there if you want, I guess, and take it from there. So, we've got MACIEF90 from Poland. So welcome as well. That's cool. Yeah, North Carolina. I've been to Charlotte. Is it North Carolina, I think? Or is it South Carolina? I was getting confused. I'm sorry. It's my regular stop flight to get to Florida when I go down there normally. All right, so Princeton. No, I didn't buy the Princeton. That's actually That's actually Rick's. So Rick bought the Princeton a while back, and he's had it for probably 3 months now. And we just hadn't got together recently to do videos. I guess we're both just crazy busy. So I didn't buy another amp, thankfully. I've got enough of those right now. So we've got Triptych Winter from Canada. Welcome. We've also got Alex Davis, who I might have mentioned before, maybe, maybe not. Well, welcome as well. And I did go back to the PV Bandit Red Stripe. It's great. I love it. And I can't believe I've had so many of them and never really used them on the clean channel with pedals. I love it. All right. So, yeah, Coffee Dog mentions, nice to see Rick in a recent video, which I agree. I think he always brings some different vibe to the channel, and I hope you like what we've got. We shot a lot of videos, actually. We shot 6 or 7 of them all in a few days, so all in one session, sorry. So they're going up over the course of the next like couple of weeks. So you'll see I think 1 or 2 going up every week for a while. And yeah, we've got to do some more. Actually, he's coming around, I think, maybe next weekend. It's kind of get a bit close to Christmas, so it might not be till early next year now. But I've got this Torpedo Live thing that I'm using to record. He's dying to test it out, so I want to get him over, and he wants to try that as well. So and also, what was I going to say? Let's go back. I'll try and remember what I was going to get to. Oh, yeah, the funny thing about the blind test was he rang me about the second one that we posted, and he couldn't remember which amp was which. And let's just put that into context. The Bandits I got for $160, his amp is worth $3,500. So it's pretty funny. So, all right, what have we got? Greetings from South Georgia. Georgia, USA. I love Georgia. William Lusk. We've got who else? We've got someone from Finland by the name of Mikdu1, M-I-K-D-U, Mikdu. And all right, Jay Millard has just asked me, have you ever heard of a valve amp brand called Strauss? They used to be made in Australia. Yeah, back in the old days, I think in the 70s, they were really popular. I mean, I'm not that old. Well, I was born in 79, but, you know, wasn't around really, and they were pretty big. I know a couple of guys that I know, older dudes, that's all they played for a long time because they were affordable here as well back then, and they sounded really cool. The Strauss amps these days aren't as reliable as they used to be. They make some stuff that sounds pretty good, but when I bought my Tokais, I plugged into a little combo, and the speaker was just bottoming out. It had this really nasty crack as well, like, I think it was a faulty valve / tube. So, but yeah, the Strauss amps are pretty good. I'd have to see if I could get my hands on a couple of them. Look, they make from their 30 watt combos up. From what I've tested of them, they're fine. Anything smaller than that, then maybe not quite as good. So, as they used to be back in the old days, but. All right, so here we go. Scott McKay asks me to get the tally out. Are we tune bro, please? All right, instead of maybe getting the Telecaster out right now, let's just get into the gas side of the week. And, yeah, I'll just show you what happened. So I'll get back to everyone's questions as well. So, check out this monster. Forearm just hurt picking that up, and actually I've still got that torn muscle. It's killing me. All right, I might do this on the ground because it's going to be a whole lot safer. So here it is. It came with a free dress as well. I'm waiting on that. So, yeah, this is the Epiphone EJ200 acoustic guitar. I've sort of had my eye on this for a while. I've Sorry, guys. I get sidetracked reading the comments. I've tried this out a few times over the last month, and I just really like it for some reason. I think it's the way that it feels in my hand. It's kind of similar to my Tokai 335 in terms of actual neck feel. It's maybe a little thinner in the neck, but it doesn't feel uncomfortable. So, I did some, like yesterday, I picked this up yesterday and I took it home and I did 5 tracks with it on the next lot of recordings that I'm working on because I needed that acoustic guitar kind of thing. So, have a listen to this. I don't know if it clips or it doesn't sound right, let me know. So Alan Eduardo says, greetings from Brazil. Thanks for being on the live stream, man. I absolutely appreciate that. We've got Bob Oliver from Claremont in Florida, which I'm not too sure where that is. I've spent a lot of time in Florida over the years. And, so basically this guitar was purchased with the intention of doing recording stuff, and it's got a really cool sort of split system pickup here. So it's got a pickup here in the neck and one on the bridge as well. So you can either use one or the other or blend the sound together to get like the kind of sound you want. It's got a built-in tuner as well, which is really cool. Okay, so James, thanks for that, man. James just mentioned that the audio readjusts. I had a feeling it compressed at least with the live streams, which is probably pretty cool. This doesn't sound as big as it looks. It sounds great. Like I'm really happy with it. I got to test a few other guitars as well when I picked it up, like probably 5 or 6 other guitars. My old one that I used to have, the Maton, that I never really liked, and this felt better to play. And while it didn't sound as big as some of the Takamine guitars, I really liked the look of it. It was beautiful. I know it's pretty shallow, but I definitely liked it. Had a certain tone that I knew would record well. It wasn't too boomy. You can feel the bass coming through the back of it a bit when you use a pick, but it had a really nice sort of tone, so I thought, yeah, why not? No edits on the live stream, so if I make mistakes now, you can see how bad a guitar player I actually am. So let's go to some comments here and questions. Ben says, really nice looking axe, Shane. Sounds good too. Thank you. Yeah, it looks, you know what? This freaks me out. You know, like I played some guitars that were 3-4 times as expensive as this with no intention to buy them, obviously. But this for what you get, this is phenomenal in terms of visuals and I guess just the sound. Like, I'm really blown away. I think Epiphone, this is my first Indonesian made guitar too. I wasn't sure how I'd go with that, but it's pretty nice. It's pretty nice. So, all right. Alex says the sound seems modulated here. I guess it just depends on what you're listening on. Sometimes if you're on a tablet or maybe on a phone, it can sound a bit funny. If it is clipping, I can turn my mic gain down. It might help a little bit. But it's probably something to do with the internet as well. That can sometimes do that. So we've got – hang on. Oh, wow. Lots more comments. Let's just – all right. So I'm having trouble seeing the names because I've got 2 monitors here. Let's just, might put my glasses on. All right, so I've lost the question, but someone asked me what my favorite overdrive or distortion pedal was. Was it? I can't seem to find it. Oh, here we go. Oh, no, I've lost it. Sorry, guys. I can't seem to find that question. But in terms of my favorite overdrive pedal, I guess it's one of those things where it sort of changes day to day almost. Not day to day, but I've got a handful of pedals that I really love. The two that I'm really enjoying a lot right now are the Maxon overdrive pedal. It doesn't matter if it's the Overdrive Pro or the 808, just bog standard 808. I'm loving that right now. And I'm also really digging the Shelly Ponyboy pedal because it's basically like a Klon, but it doesn't cost as much. And it sounds fantastic and it looks really cool. So they're probably my two favorite overdrives. There's a few others that I really like as well that I sort of mix it up a bit. I'm sort of getting into the Alex K production stuff as well. I'm enjoying the simplicity of some of his pedals. And, yeah, we've got more AB videos coming up with Rick as well pretty soon. So, yeah, that's a pen all over me. Anyway, yeah, so I hope that answers your question. But yeah, I go through phases, and it also depends on what amp I'm using too. Sometimes some pedals sound better with other amps, but generally, yeah, the Overdrive or the Overdrive Pro and any Klon-type pedal are still my favorites. They stack so well together. All right. Coffee Dog says, that's one blingy acoustic. It is. I feel like I should have worn like my cowboy shirt and one of those big white Brad Paisley style hats, you know. So, around too much right now, we can get back to that. But yeah, I just want to share with everybody ahead of time the beautiful guitar that this is. And yeah, basically, like I said, for those who have just joined, I bought it with the intention of using it on my next lot of recordings, which I'm actually tracking to a click for the first time. So I've just put a whole bunch of parts down already in one day, so it did the job. And yeah, it sounds nice plugged in. And I should also note, look at that, it's got two outputs, so you can run one pickup being the front pickup, or a mix of both pickups out of this one, or you can split them and have them going to a desk in stereo. So yeah, it's kind of cool, and it looks beautiful. So look at the back of this thing. It's probably going to mess the camera up a little bit, but yeah, I just liked it. I don't know. There's something about the look of this. I'm a big sucker for American style or American looking things. Always have been, whether it's cars or whether it's guitars or whatever, you know, clothes, all that kind of stuff. I've always liked American style things. So yeah, this is crazy. I want to Photoshop this over here. So yeah, anyway, I'll put this down for a minute. All right, I'm not going to knock into that. All right, let's get back to some of the questions here. All right, so sorry, guys. Thomas Metzger asks me, or the Sweet Joyo Vintage Overdrive or Sweet Baby Overdrive. So both of those pedals are awesome. What do you prefer? Like, in terms of both of those pedals, they sound great. The Joyo is more neutral sounding, whereas the Vintage Overdrive has a lot more sort of kick in the mid. So you're going to get that Tube Screamer sound. Those two pedals together would sound great as well. So Dave has just asked me a question about the live album. Not the live album, the new album, I should say. So there it is. Yay, it's done. So I just sent out a whole lot of these today, which was awesome. So the change I need, it's finally done. It's got Rick and Brian and a whole bunch of my friends on here, guitar players, singers, and saxophone players, and keyboard players, all that kind of stuff. So yeah, I've got this at intheblues.com.au. I miscalculated shipping the first few times, so I took a massive loss, but I'm glad I got it out there anyway. So the shipping price has been updated worldwide, and you can pick this up, either download it or whatever. But, yeah, so little plug there for my album. I hope that doesn't annoy anybody. But, yeah, it's really cool. So David's made it into the chat room because he messaged me before saying, how do I get in? But I couldn't get to my phone. So, yeah, Prawn equals David. David is the guy that was on the podcast with me recently, chatting about all kinds of different things. And, yeah, it was good fun. It was good fun. We're definitely going to do more of them. So got to get a few extra guys. If anyone's interested in being on the podcast as well, you just let me know. You can find me an email at intheblues@outlook.com. I'll put that in there. You can... All right, so Rummy73 says, can we get a lesson from Dr. Rick? Maybe, yeah, I could get him to, or ask him to help out with something like that. It'll be, yeah, I mean, lessons aren't always the easiest thing to record. It just depends how we do it. We could do some like turnaround lessons or something like that, and he can. You know, he's an encyclopedia of stuff. He's got a photographic memory for several different things. He picks up languages in a couple of weeks. He's one of those kind of guys. So, yeah, he's got millions of licks. I've seen him watch stuff at a gig, and the next gig he's playing it. So with it, yeah, it's insane. So if I can get him or ask him to help out with some of that stuff, that'll be cool. And asked... yeah, so basically the last podcast I did with Freaking Prawn, that was David. So, yeah, I'm just clarifying something that came up in the chat there. Ben says, I would honestly recommend a Strat. More versatility. Yeah, but sometimes Strats don't sound as good as Tallies. Just putting that out there. That's just my opinion. I'm starting to get back into my Strat, you know, like I had banded it for a while, and then I had the Zex coil pickups put in, and then I had a faulty pot, and then I had the frets fixed. So I had lots of stuff that was just putting me off playing that guitar, but I used it the other night and it sounded fantastic. So next gig, I'm definitely taking it out with one of my Little Crows or something else anyway, so. All right, Shane, did you ever try your Strat with a bit lower gauge strings? Every time I go to 11s, my Strat starts to sound plastic. I kind of feel almost the opposite in terms of string gauge. I think the I can see what you're getting at. It's probably a little more subtle with the 10s. Yeah, I've tried 10s. 10s is as low as I'll go. Everything at the moment now is 11s on all of my guitars. I went back up to that. Based more on just how it feels when I bend strings, and you just get a bit of a fatter sound. But I can see how maybe thinner strings would work better on a Strat, just because you're getting more of that sort of underwound kind of sound rather than a more modern sound. Maybe I'm not too sure. Looks like we've got a few Tally fans in the house, which is always good. All right, just give me one sec. Oh, man, that's embarrassing. All right, so Veranic asks me, which 30-watt amp with an effects loop would you recommend under $305? Is that $305 US? Or where? There's not a whole lot of amps with effects loops that are inexpensive. Are you after a valve amp or tube amp, or are you after like a solid state one? I guess that's everyone else can chime in and you know, let people know, let you know what they think as well. So, all right. So for those wondering too, I just saw the Mustang come up in a comment. I got one more lot of Mustang Monday videos starting first Monday of next year, so not long to go. I'm just finalizing those patches. These are all classic rock ones as well, so Actually, I shouldn't say that, but most of them are. I've taken all the suggestions that I never got around to, and I'm putting them in a series, basically. So I hope you guys like that. That'll definitely be the last lot, because the Bandit, I'm enjoying the Bandit at the moment. I know it's sacrilegious, but all right. Scott wants me to get my tally out, so let me go grab that. It's right behind me in the cupboard here. I'm just going to put this thing away so I don't knock it over. You can see how bad my guitar cupboard is back here. What I'm going to do, I just have to hook a couple of little things up, so just give me one sec. Probably should have done this before, but I wasn't really expecting on playing much today. Amp not plugged in. Always plugged in. All right. I have to move a couple of things. Sorry about the butt shot there, guys. It's always good when you turn on the amp as well. See how we go. I have no sound. There we go. All right. So this is my 52 reissue tele. It's my only Telecaster that's like a traditional tele. I do have the Crowcaster, not the Crowcaster, but the little Crow guitar, which is kind of like a tele as well. This is natural wear right here. This isn't the stuff you pay for. It's got a few blemishes on it. It's probably a bit hard to see due to the camera, but this guitar is just great, you know. And I was doing a podcast with Will of Will's Easy Guitar the other day, which will surprise a lot of people, because just putting it out there, I had a feeling that guy was pretty smart, and I know he's he might not convey himself in a way that's appealing to a lot of people, but you can tell the guy is clever. And we were talking about modding guitars and all that kind of stuff. And, you know, I made this, or I turned this into something that has sort of become my, you know, my go-to in terms of tellies. The way that it's set up now with the 6105 stainless steel frets, these pickups, the pot changes I made, all that kind of stuff has made this guitar really unique. At least that's the way I feel about it. So, I'm plugged into my Super Reverb right now. So I'm going through the two notes live, Torpedo Live, Load Box. On the neck pickup, so this is both pickups. And bridge. So for those wondering if you like the sound of that, that's literally just an amp. And then I've bypassed the speakers that are in that, and I've gone into the two notes box, which is essentially replacing the speakers with an onboard like DSP speaker and microphone. And it's unbelievable. Like if you like the tones on the demo I did with the new Tribus pedal, as well as the last Let's Stack video, that was through that. And it is unbelievable. So the sound that you're hearing is coming out of my studio monitor speaker. Just one. I don't have the other one on right now. So, yeah, it's unbelievable. It's really cool. Let's go back to some questions here because I've missed quite a bit here. All right. I missed something here. It says Shane has a review of them. They're great. I will be getting one soon. I'm not too sure what that was in relation to, sorry. Someone asked me, are they a lot of money? If that's to the two notes thing, yeah, they're not cheap. There are other ways you could record with similar results, maybe not as good, but you could buy like a THD hot plate, run that out into your computer and run some VST effects and all that kind of stuff. But I found what's great about this is I don't need my computer on to use it. I can just turn it on. It can work straight to a PA system and that. So it's got everything built in that you can also do on the computer and vice versa. It's a bit like the Mustang interface. So you've got everything you can do on screen, you can do like via the computer as well. Anyway. Coffee Dog says, gotta love the tones of the Super Reverb. Me too. It's the best. I've got the bright switch on now because I was doing some demos and they sound like the fuzz pedals and that sound better with the bright switch on. So it's a little brighter than what I would normally like. I love these pickups. Anyone who says Joe Budden pickups aren't good hasn't tried them because... you know, I went back to the single coils for a while. I've just noticed a comment on YouTube here. And I just can't handle that buzz. And I think that's part of the reason why I love the Les Pauls and all that at the moment, because there's just no buzz. Like, it's just more pleasing to my ear. It creates more space when you're playing live, as in there's just no in the background when you're not playing. But that's just my opinion, and everyone's entitled to one. So, all right, let's do this here. What do we got? Rummy asks me, do you like modern rock blues players like Gary Moore? I think Gary Moore is fantastic. I think I love his, let's put it like this. I love his albums. I've got one of his albums that is a great blues album, great playing, great tones, probably a very underrated player. Although... some of his live concerts, I find he just goes like way over the top. Even when he's got like some of the blues greats sitting in with him, he just, I don't know, like he's not listening to what's going on around him. It's a big breakdown and he's shredding over it. Like and then Albert Collins comes out and plays one note and everyone screams. So I think, yeah, I do like Gary Moore. I think he's great, but he's not, he just seemed to lack that, the only thing that he lacks. Which, you know, he could sing his ass off. He can play his ass off. He can play better than 99% of the blues players at the moment. But he just wasn't always aware of where his dynamics or where his playing sat in the dynamics of the music. That's just my opinion. There's clips of him. Look up Albert Collins and Gary Moore, right? That just tells you the first solo he does, he shreds. The first solo Albert does, he's just going like... you know, he's just playing like little bits and, yeah. Anyway, the other thing that put me off Gary Moore too is when he played with B.B. King, he copied every part of his solo. I don't know. That's not cool. But anyway, who cares? I mean, he can play. So there's a few guys that in terms of – all right, hang on. Let's go to something else here. What have we got? Sorry, I'm a little ahead of what the stream here is. So yeah, Mike Thompson asks about what about the Fender Bass Breaker? So there's a part of the podcast that's coming up on YouTube, which isn't released yet with freaking prawn, or David and myself were chatting about that amp. I haven't had a chance to use one. I haven't seen one in Australia yet. I'll probably get to play one in July in the US before I actually find one here. But yeah, they look interesting. I'd like to try them out. And yeah, if you want to listen to that full podcast too, I put up samples of it on YouTube, but the whole thing's always at guitarpedaldemos.com. So it's always there. Or if you've got iTunes, or if you've got an Android device, you can get a podcast app and subscribe that way as well. You can just stream them straight to your phone. All right. So Scott McKay asks me, what neck pickup is that? It's basically a Joe Barden pickup. It's just the vintage or the stock neck Telecaster neck pickup. The bridge one here is the modern one, so it's a little hotter than the original, or to the matching one, I should say. But yeah, I think it's cool. I think they're great pickups, and look, no buzz. It's my new lick of the week. I learnt that one this week. It's a little rundown. So it's the same shape twice, then a different shape twice, then back to the first shape twice, then back to the other shape twice. Oh, no. Yeah. Cool little lick. All right, what else? So for those who don't know what the Bassbreaker amplifier is, it's basically a copy of the Marshall Bluesbreaker with slight mods, which was a copy essentially of the Fender Bassman amplifier. So, you know, it's gone around in a circle there. So we've got someone from Ecuador here now. So Joaco. I'm not sure how to pronounce that, and I apologize. I'm trying my best. Veronek asks, have you tested the Fender Blacktop series? I'm not sure what that is, so I'm going to look it up. Fender Blacktop series. I don't know if that's an amp or a guitar or what. Okay. Let's have a look here. The Fender website in Australia sucks. Just fill me in on the chat, if you don't mind, what that is exactly. So, Mike Thompson asks me, what do I think of Joe Bonamassa? Look, I don't know. He's not one of my favorites. He's not one of my least favorites either. He's sort of that middle ground. Look, I don't know. I always like guitar players where you can almost sing along to guitar solos. I don't really get that from him. He's a phenomenal acoustic player and he's a great electric guitar player, but I don't know, man. There's something about him that I just don't get into. I don't know if it's just his vibe or what, but look, there's a DVD that he did that's like a trio band thing in Germany, I think. I can't remember the name of the thing now, but yeah, that was cool. I really thought that was cool, but yeah, I don't know, man. I'm not blown away by Joe Bonamassa, and you know, it's just a personal sort of thing. His playing doesn't do much for me, and I know guys that have gone to his gig and they've heard that crazy quick rundown 35 times. So once you hear it, you're done. All right, so hello from Mexico, from Javier. Yeah, I'm having a bit of trouble seeing the fonts on this screen over here, by the way, guys. So the screen is a little bit not working right, and it's a bit faded right now. So I'm trying my best to see everything here. All right, so Jake asks me, how do I feel about the visual sound H2O pedal? I think it's awesome. My friend Brian in my band uses it, and every time he clicks that thing on, I smile because yeah, he manages just to get a great sound out of it. I actually like Visual Sound pedals on the most part. The only thing I don't like about them is one series of their pedals had this noise gate that you couldn't turn off. It said you could, but you couldn't turn it off. So you'd let a note ring and you'd hear this at the end of it, not that prominent, but you'd hear this crackle as the noise gate was closing. And then it was annoying. Once you hear that, you can't unhear it. And yeah, but in general, their pedals are fine. I think they're changing their name to True Tone as well, which is odd. But yeah, look, Visual Sound do make good stuff on the most part. Some of the best pedals I've ever had a chance to play are theirs or own as well. So yeah, H2O is a great pedal. It's, for those who don't know what that is, it's a chorus, I think, mixed with like an echo or delay. And yeah, like I said, Brian uses one. He gets a great sound. So, all right. So what have we got here? And says, I got one recently but sold all of my tube amps. And sold all of my tube amps. So, hang on. Let's... All right, so the switch footer 123 says or asks me, what are your preferences for clean amps? Anything that sounds good. Anything that sounds good. So my favorite ones would be the Super Reverb up to about 4, 4.5. They're clean. Anywhere past there, they get dirty naturally. It sounds awesome. If you want dead clean, the Fender DeVille 212 is arguably the best Fender amp for cleans. I had that and a twin, and in my opinion, the twin sounded like scratchy and weird, and the DeVille just sounded smooth and round and full. So I would compare that to sort of like, you know, John Mayer's kind of smooth clean tones versus Clapton's kind of pokey, scratchy kind of clean tones. They're not quite clean. So that's the comparison in between a twin and a DeVille. I think clean tones on a Bandit are phenomenal, believe it or not. I'm loving that amp right now. I love the clean tone on my Blues Deluxe, which is over there. So anything 40 watts plus in terms of valve amps or tube amps in the US, and with solid state stuff, it doesn't really matter because I can turn my Bandit up to a lot on clean without it breaking up until it gets to probably 6, 7, and it's loud. So yeah, I still think the best amp I've ever played is a Super Reverb. So that's just my opinion. Or where I'm at right now, I'm really digging that, but the DeVille is a very, very close second in terms of cleans. All right, let's go back to some questions here. Quicksilver says, Prague's $1 beer. Everyone welcome. Yeah, so Neo XXXXX asks, or he says, I don't really like noise gates either. Look, they can be okay. It's just on the Visual Sound stuff. I should do a demo of that, actually. I should grab the Double Trouble back off Brian and show you what I mean, because he's a tinkerer and a tweaker, and he tried to turn it off and it was always there. So I don't know if it's just faulty or what, but anyway. All right, so Rasty asks, do I know anyone that has a similar sound to Robin Ford? Yeah, my friend Brian. Check him out on YouTube, Brian Strafford, monster player. Look, another guy that used to play with the Robin Ford band, his name's Chris Kane. He's my current favorite blues guitar player and arguably my top three ever now because he's just a gun. So Chris Kane, I'll spell that out in the chat room. This guy will make you shake your head and it'll make you want to quit and it will make you want to practice more as well. So, yeah, Chris Kane is an absolute monster player. David says the best amp ever is the Squire 10-watt amp. Done. Agreed. Best Dumble Creamy Overdrive type pedal. There's two. the Zentastic POB version. No, sorry. The POB Zentastic version 3. I think it's version 3. I could be wrong. Version 2. It's awesome. It's basically like the same thing as a Zendrive pedal. So they would be the two that I would suggest. Either get the Zendrive or get the Zentastic, which also has like a boost function on it as well. Mike Thompson says, hey Shane, I'm a big John Mayer fan, but I'm not really digging him playing with Dead and Company. Oh, look, I haven't heard any of that actually. I've never really looked it up on YouTube. I should check it out at some point, but yeah, you could be right. I don't know. I'm not too sure what he's doing. He's probably just getting a bit sick of doing the same songs. So, he's been playing his material for so long, he might have just wanted to branch out a little bit there. Nobody knows what is Dumbletone, says Richie 1802. Yeah, Dumble is just big, clean kind of sound, but, you know, I think they also can sound just a hair dirty as well, which I think the Zen Drive is about as close as you're going to get that and the Zentastic pedal. So the Switch Footer says, what's my favorite brand of guitar? I don't have a favorite brand of guitar anymore. I used to be a one-eyed Fender guy. I used to play this and a Strat. I used to have three Stratocasters at one point. And I used to have a 335 by Gibson, which I thought I liked until I played the Tokai, which killed it. So it's not so much about brand. It's more about, I guess, what mood I'm in now. My little Crow guitars are fantastic as well. I love my Gibson Les Paul with the P90s. I love my Tokai guitars. In terms of favorite brand, I don't have one anymore. I just like things that are different. So, I couldn't care less for brand anymore. So it's just about if I find something I like, then that's reason enough for me to want to get it. If I just stuck to Fender, I wouldn't have a 335. I wouldn't have a Les Paul. I wouldn't have an SG. I wouldn't have the Little Crow guitars. Man. Whatever else, you know, over the years. I've had a Flying V back in the old days, all that kind of thing. So Emmanuel asks, what was my first guitar? I can show you. Oh, no, I can't. It's in the other room. It was a nylon string guitar. I've still got it. It's been on my Rode microphone demos. It's around 50 years old, probably older than that, actually. It was my mum's, and she got it from her brother. And it's a Suzuki classical guitar. It's a nylon string thing. It's number 700 made in Japan, so it's beautiful. All right. And then, but in terms of electric guitar, the first electric guitar that I bought was a Squire. It was a red Strat-type Squire, and I ended up having that modded in the early days. I knew something didn't sound quite right, so I didn't do it, but I had a guy help me put Texas Special pickups in there, which really improved the tone. It really made it sound like any other Strat then. So, yeah, I should have kept that. You know, looking back, I should have probably have kept that guitar. That was a great, cheap-sounding guitar. Played great and everything. I don't know why I sold it. I think I might have upgraded to a Epiphone. Well, I considered it an upgrade to an Epiphone .335. Back then, they still had the Gibson logos on them, which I don't know if it makes any difference or not. All right. I just need a drink. Guys, my throat's killing me. Yeah. For those who don't know, it's extremely hot here again today. So I'm in shorts and a T-shirt. My face is red because it's really quite warm in here, and I got my window open as well. And my throat's getting a little dry. So let's just check the temperature here. It's 38 degrees Celsius here at the moment. It's going to get to 40 in about an hour. 41 at, look at this. Can you see this? Probably not. But, yeah, it's going to be 41 later on today. And you know what's awesome? I live in a shoebox of a place, like nothing flash. But when I go to the beach, it's 40 meters, which is like, what's that, 100 feet down the road here. So I'm lucky like that. I'm going to get changed and jump in the water and come home. So, yeah, it'd be good. All right. Any experience with Messer amps or pedals? Yeah, a little bit. Now, I don't know if you'll agree with me or you might not. I think they're best combos in terms of combos. I haven't had any experience with the heads and the quad boxes, all that kind of stuff. Oh, I have once, but I think the amps, the best Messer Boogie or Mesa Boogie amps are the ones that have less controls on them. Don't get one with like 5 channels and 35 controls. You'll fiddle around with it until the end of time and still not get the sound you like. My friend has a little combo. It's a 30-watt single 12 combo. I can't recall the name of it off the top of my head, but thing's great. You can dial it in nice and quickly. You don't have to fiddle around with everything. And they also make like 100-watt combos that have like this graphic EQ that you can actually with the sliders. They're really quite good as well. Not really the sound for me, but if you're into rock and roll and classic rock stuff, they sing. A couple of friends of mine have had them for blues, and I got to say their clean tones are good. They're very, very clean, but they don't have the vibe of the Fender amps on clean. This is just my opinion, whereas the drive channel is much better than a Fender drive channel. But look, if you're a blues guy, I'd probably recommend the Supersonic amps. If you can find one of them, just get one of those. I think they're sort of like the best middle ground in terms of cleans, you know, deluxe reverb style cleans, give or take 2%, and also the drive channels, which rock. So hope that helps. In terms of Messer Boogie pedals, I've used their preamp one, that big silver thing that's like $500. A mate of mine bought one, and I got to test it out, and yeah, it was okay. It was all right. I wasn't blown away by it either. It's just a bit too much for me, that pedal. I'd rather just get it something this big, put it on my board, not have to carry around a wheelbarrow just for a pedal. But look, they probably make a lot of other things that I'm not too familiar with. Boogie stuff is a little bit more, it's more aimed, I guess, at heavier rock or classic rock style. Classic rock, but you know, rock and roll stuff, or modern rock, which I don't play a lot of. What a crock of shite. Okay. What did I say? All right. I get it now. It's hard to get Tokais in Europe when you find them. They're expensive. Yeah, they're expensive. They're expensive here too. They're not cheap. The Chinese ones cheap here, which is good. They're fantastic, but the Japanese stuff's still expensive, and there's a reason why. It's as good as the custom shop Gibson stuff. That's why. If you're not a fan of regular Gibsons, but you want and you love their custom shop stuff, definitely check out the Japanese Tokais, man. They're so good. A friend of mine has the exact same guitar as me in a Tokai, that gold top Les Paul. And side by side, they're identical, minus the relicking. In terms of everything else, they're exactly the same. And if I could have found a lefty Tokai Les Paul with P90s, I probably would have bought it as well. All right, let me just catch up on some questions here. I've been rambling on for a while. I'd like to thank everybody again for stopping in. I always appreciate, people hanging out with me on these things. And unfortunately, I'm using the Google, the Google stream thing instead of the Wirecast. So fingers crossed that it doesn't crash out like it did last time at around an hour and 20 minutes. We'll see how we go. I don't even know how long I've been on here for. There's no timer. So I guess it's been just over an hour. Okay. All right. So Joeco asks me, what do I think of the OCD full tone? I think it's a really nice pedal. It depends. If you like thick, creamy overdrive tones, it's an absolute winner. It's got that fat, thick tone. My friend Brian loves them. I sold him one of the small pedals that I have that do the OCD thing, and it's really, really cool. So, yeah, I think they're great. I think they're really good. All right. Custom Defenders. So custom amps have a K on them. Actually really good. I think they're an overlooked amp. They look like something from the 50s or 60s. They got that, they got a particular vibe about them. Sort of reminds me of a diner you know, the seats in a diner back in the old days. So they're just the Tolex and stuff that's on them. It's really cool. All right. Quicksilver says he tried to order a Tokai from Muzo City. They don't ship to Europe. Well, I mean, look, if you really want one, shoot me an email at intheblues@outlook.com. I'll set up a PayPal thing for you, and we can ship you one across. If you know what you're after, we can sort that out. I don't mind helping out a few people doing that. It's no big deal. As long as all my costs are covered, I couldn't care. I can order one from them, have it shipped to me for free. It'll come in a box, and I can ship it out. All right. Wow. Okay. Sorry, guys. I'm just going to go through some of these comments here. So Europe has this VAT, which sucks. You know, like I had a few European customers. I had some people from the Netherlands and a few other places as well. And they put 20% to 30% on everything. We have a 10% GST here, or goods and services tax. And the VAT, man, they're killing them. They're just like isolating themselves off from the outside world, basically, by doing that. All right, let me scroll through some more comments here. So Anne says, thank us by doing more live streams. I probably should do more. I always think when I start doing these, like, what am I going to talk about? So I have no idea where it's going to go. And that can sometimes be a little concerning, but yeah, it's all good. Okay, my PV Classic 30 sounds shrill, and I have a solid state PV that sounds really warm. So that's from Gary, and I couldn't agree more. You know why the Classic 30 sounds shrill? It's got the same setup as a Vox, which not everyone likes. So it's got the EL84 tubes, 12 AX7 preamp tubes, and it's just not going to have the same. It's just not going to have the same warmth as the Bandit or a solid state amp if it's a Studio Pro Plus or whatever they're called or whatever. So yeah, it's just, they got a cool sound when you crank them, but yeah, there's no way that would sound as warm as a PV Bandit. All right, so let's keep going through some of these comments here. So Ben says, good guy Shane helping us out with their gear. Sorry, misread that. Good guy Shane helping guys out with their gear. What a legend. So, hey, no worries, man. I mean, you guys support my channel, and I love this stuff. If I didn't love it, I wouldn't do it. If you ever see me, like, talking about guitars like this, then it's time for me not to do it anymore, or take a break at least anyway. So I love this stuff. I really do. And it's like a hobby that, you know, some people like fishing or camping or whatever. Guitars and gear and all things nerdery like that is my thing. So I love it. Absolutely love it. And I'm really getting into the recording side of things. I should also mention, I spoke to David about this on the podcast about doing a band live stream next year. So Brian, myself, Rick, Mark, either Oscar or Jeff, depending on situation, we're going to stream a gig from the Tone Cave. Maybe that might be one location we're thinking of. So, we've got do a couple of cool live streams coming up, and I want to upgrade this camera to something that looks, I guess, as good as the camera that I shoot with normally, or if I can somehow do it like that. So, yeah, we'll take questions along the way and maybe try some different gear while we play, whatever, and just have some fun. So, it'll be really good. All right, so Rummy says, I want to thank you for turning me onto the Odie Classic Overdrive. Oh, all the comments just scrolled then. Hey, no worries, you're more than welcome. Peter from Shelley makes some great stuff. I'm going to actually meet up with him mid-next year when I'm in Florida. I'm going to go around to his place and check out the rest of the stuff that he's got and maybe do an interview there or something as well. It should be fun. Yeah, he's a nice guy. He's a legit guy. He knows his stuff. He builds really good quality stuff. And if anyone hasn't seen his drone drop test videos on his pedals, definitely check him out. He drops them from like right up in the sky. So it's pretty funny. All right. Oh, I found the rest of that comment. So he said, it's basically like a TS9 and more. It is. It does have more options, absolutely. Quicksilver says, ass bandit. Meaning a solid state bandit, maybe. So Jeremy Wright says, I'm a lefty too, so the only ones in the store are Squire Strat and maybe a Squire Tally, if you're lucky. Yeah, that or a Mexican Telecaster, the black one or the, you know, the crap, crazy red color one that no one wants with all the scratches on the fretboard. That's the other one you'll find at most guitar centers. Look, in Australia now, there's actually some good options for left-handed shops where I picked up that Epiphone. The guy that owns the shop's a lefty, so he's probably got, in total, he's probably got, say he's got 400 guitars in his shop. Rough guess. It would be pretty accurate, I think. I'd say he'd have 100 across the board or at least 50 that are lefties, which is unheard of. So, yeah, it's really cool. All right, hang on. What have we got here? About the band live stream, you can have each of them in their own place if the drummer gives us any trouble. It'd be cool if we could actually stream and sync like that. That'd be really cool, but sound quality would probably be pretty crap. So when I do this stream, I'm going to be running a 10 or 12 channel mixer that I've got into a stereo sound card that I also have, and from there it'll just be everything mic'd and mixed via the mixer, you know, streamed out in stereo. It won't be with this. So yeah, the sound quality should be good. Look, I don't know if the video quality will be any better than what I've got right now, unless something changes. But, yeah, it's definitely worth doing. All right, so Slow Gin, or S-L-O-E, Slow, I don't know how to pronounce that. Slow. He says, hi, Shane, I'm looking for a small amp to play blues at home. Do you know any amp under $250 to $300? I really like John Mayer, Robin Ford, Matt Schofield, and your sound. Oh, cool. I'm in good company. Yeah, there's quite a few. I guess my next question is if you're in the US, because or outside of Australia, because in Australia the options under $300 are very, very different to what you can get in the US. So let me know there. And all right, so the Switchfooter 123 says, what does your pedal board look like?
Have I actually got it around here at the moment?
Let me check. I don't know if it's in this room or not. I'll see what I got. I may also get another guitar out of the cupboard. Let's put the telly back. My pedal board must be somewhere else. I think it's in the other room. I don't want to walk out because that would suck. But let me grab another guitar out here. So I can tell you everything that's on my pedal board, and I've had it the same way now for a little while. I've got my Boss TU-2 tuner, which I've had forever. I've also got the Klon or the Shelly Pony Boy pedal on that one. And then that goes into the Maxon OD-808. And then that goes into the Shaky Jimmy pedal, which is like a modulation pedal. And then that goes into my Maxon analog delay pedal. That's been like that now for a while. I did replace the Maxon dual booster clean volume boost pedal with the modulation pedal recently. That's the only change I've had. Now, someone also asked me before, sorry, I can't remember who asked, but what digital wireless packs do I recommend? Get the Line 6 one. They're awesome. The digital, they run on 2.4 gigahertz. There's no interference, no hiss, no crackle. Similar technology to how modems work to computers, send a signal via that same frequency. They're basically, it's like a secure connection. It's not going to get any interference. There's no lag or loss. I've used them up to, you know, 90 feet away or 30 meters, depending where you're from, away from, you know, from my amp. And it's almost lagless. The only lag you hear is the acoustics of the room. So, yeah, it's a fantastic thing. Get the one I've got is the UX. Oh, no, not the UX. It's called the G30. Sorry, it's another Line 6 thing. So, yeah, the G30 is the one I've got. There is one that comes out with a little antenna you can clip onto the thing that sits on your pedal board. But, yeah, I absolutely recommend them. Let's turn this thing on.
All right.
This might be out of tune, so. Yeah. I love this thing. It's just, that's a neck pickup. Beautiful. All right. So Anne says the P90s would sound awesome in that semi-hollow. I agree. All right, so Slogin. Sorry, I don't know how to pronounce your name, man, but or username, I should say. So it's in US dollars. Look, for practicing at home and having a bit of fun, look, I don't know how much a Blues Junior is worth in the States if you're after a valve amp. I think they're not far from that price, give or take. They're way more expensive than that here. But they also make the ProSonic, I think it is, the one under that. Let me just double check. Yeah, they make one that's like a 10-inch speaker and like a basic volume and tone control, and that's it. That would be a great little home amp. If you are after like a valve amp, that would definitely be the way to go. I'm just bringing up the website now. I want to make sure I've given you the right name because ProSonic, something doesn't sound right about that. I think I've got them confused. So it's part of the Hot Rod series anyway. Hang on. So you got the Blues Junior 3 and then you've got the Oh, no, hang on. Oh, the Australian Fender website is so bad. Get on they'd like lock us out of the US one unless we get there another way. It's a real pain in the butt. Yeah, the Pro Junior. Sorry, the Pro Junior is the amp you want to take a look at if you can. Look, they're $1,100 in Australia. It's ridiculous, but I'm pretty sure they're around that sort of price. Yeah, other options might be like a Fender Mustang 2, which isn't as big as the 3. It depends what just depends on a few factors, whether or not you want a big speaker, if you want to be able to use headphones or not. You know, Vox make a really great practice amp. There's one that it's like 15 watts, it's solid state, it's got reverb, and it sounds amazing. I'll bring it up on the web here and make sure I give you the right. It's something 15R or something. Man, what is going on? Sorry, guys. Yeah, anyway, the amp is basically, it's like 15R or something like that. It's the one with reverb. That one sounds fantastic. So it's a great little home amp. That would be my recommendations. But, yeah, take into account whether or not you want to get a valve or a solid-state amp for home. And, yeah, there you go. All right, what do we got here? And everyone can feel free to, help out with the input because there's a lot of great people here and know a lot about gear as well, probably more than me. So feel free. Oh, the Super Champ X2, that's another great one. Yeah, I really like that amp. I think it's great, but if, you know, can you find them anymore? They're pretty tough to find. I think they got discontinued. If you can get them secondhand, definitely get one. Have you tried playing with your tone knob or an EQ pedal? Yeah, lately I have been messing around with that a bit, but I usually leave my tone controls wide open and set my amp from there. I like the sound of like that. Sounds good. But if I roll the tone down clean, I'm not going to really use that. But when I crank up some overdrive lately, I've been messing with the tone control just a little bit, and you'll hear some of that coming up on some demos I did at Rick's place of some different amps as well. So this is a great guitar. So this is why I'm not a brand snob. I don't just like one particular brand over another. It's because if I did that, I wouldn't have this. So, yeah, anyway, what else is happening here? Greetings from Scotland. Greetings. Thanks for stopping by. All right, Fender Pro Junior is 419 in the US. Okay, I didn't know that. All right, Emmanuel asks me, what is your opinion about the Axe FX or Kemper? Now, to be fair, I haven't actually used the Kemper amp, and I think they're really expensive for what they do. The Axe FX is basically China. For those who don't know, it's kind of like a unit that replicates all these different amp tones. For me, the two notes would be the way to go because I can still use my amps into it and still have zero noise. But sometimes, you know, the practicality of having an amp isn't always what everyone wants as well. So I think it just depends on your solution. For me at home, recording with the two notes, it's the best thing ever. I can use my amps. It sounds like my amps. I don't have to rely on, you know, as much emulation, so to speak, as what you would with an Axe FX 2. I've heard some people that say, who are pro musos, you know, they haven't always said good things about the Axe FX. There's a lot of hype on them. I think people say it sounds good, but it doesn't feel good to play. Like, you know, that just it doesn't feel the same as what you get from an amp. Whereas the two notes for me feels like I'm playing my amp. It sounds actually better than it probably would if I could mic it up. So, you know, that's worth thinking about as well. Now, if you're going to sort of if you want something that's just going to replicate lots of amps, I'd probably go for the Kemper over the Axe FX, just because the stuff I've heard of the Axe FX, I'm not as blown away by. But everyone likes different things, so if you like it, then it's maybe the right choice. So it's just like that acoustic guitar I picked up. It's not going to be what everyone would like, but I liked it. So that's all that it came down to in the end. But do your research, listen to as much stuff as you can. Try to find some non-biased reviews of it as well. And also look, you know, when I was looking into these two notes thing, I must have watched as many reviews as I could. And then I realized, yeah, this is the exact solution that I need for doing videos at home and not having the noise. So, and still having the great tone. So, yeah. Okay. All right, Shane, can you affordable audio interface that won't clip? Oh, all right. Can I recommend an affordable interface that won't clip? I don't know. I mean, if the input's clipping, then there's no pad function on the unit. So, look, I don't know if they still make these or not, but the best USB two-channel mic input interface that I ever had was the UX2 by Line 6. Awesome. Recorded electric guitars direct with mics. You could plug your instrument directly into it and load up all the software on the inside. It still sounded pretty good. I used that for albums. I used it for other people's albums. It was a really cool thing. I don't know if the Focusrite stuff clicks. I don't know if that's... I haven't tested those, but I'm actually in the market for one at the moment, and I'm kind of eyeballing I think it's called MI Audio Interfaces. There's a like a rectangular one that looks really cool. So if I buy that and it's any good, I'll do a demo of it and make sure that it does what I need it to do. But yeah, look, if you're recording stuff that's extremely loud and you're worried about clipping and you can't just move the microphone back for whatever reason, you definitely need one that has a pad function. So pad will basically be a button that you push in and it will drop the input level by between 15 and 25 decibels normally, which is a lot. It doesn't sound like much, but it's a lot. So if I was talking to this mic and I hit a negative 25 dB button, you wouldn't hear me talk. It's that much. So yeah. All right. Hope that helps. But my opinion on audio interfaces is sometimes if you want one that you know is going to work, get one that if you're looking at recording a lot and not just once every now and then, get a Motu interface. They're awesome. I've also got a Zoom R16 that I do all my stuff with on my desk here. But yeah, I think the Motu sounded nicer. So yeah, that's just food for thought. So check them out. Daniel Martinelli says, I use the Joyo American Sound a lot and I love it. Awesome. I still use mine all the time. And on the album that I just finished as well, we didn't use any amps. We just used that. So all those tones that people are commenting on the SoundCloud clip that I put up and that's all done with that. There's just no amplifiers on the whole thing. So, yeah, it is such a great pedal. And there's one track that sort of goes a bit like this. On there, it's sloppy playing and not the tone, but I use the Vox one on that part, and man, that's awesome, the Vox version of that American sound. All right. So Jeremy asked, what is SPDIF or SPDIF? It's basically like a digital output from a device that you can then send to a sound card or wherever. So it's basically like a Sony and Philips patent technology, basically. So it's a digital signal that can either look like a coaxial cable or can sometimes be, I think optical cables, they have a different name, but sometimes you'll see digital cables that are also like a light signal. These are, you know, they look more like a conventional cable. So Daniel says, so I'll have to get a copy of that album for sure. Man, I've got 100 of them. I've sold a few of them already. I sent 4 more out today. It's probably 10 that are out there right now. And I'd like to thank everybody so much for giving it a shot, because in terms of music and guitar playing, I didn't want to post too many samples because the song that I posted is one of the strongest songs, but it's not, in my opinion, maybe the best song on the album. There's a couple that are just, there's maybe 4 songs that are, 4 to 5 songs that are about as good as that. And it's just all personal choice. But if you like the sound of that, I doubt you'll be disappointed. I really doubt you'll be disappointed. If anyone does want one and my shop doesn't send them to that, like, to your location, then I'd be more than happy to set up a PayPal thing as well. So we can do that. Oh, my throat's getting sore. It's really quite hot in here. So, all right. Ironman333 asked me, have you heard any amp tweaker pedals? I have the Big Rock Pro and it's amazing. I haven't actually heard of them. So, yeah, I'll have to check them out. Sorry, I'm reading the comments. I get distracted easily. I'm like, ooh, shiny color. Yeah, so if your country isn't on the web shop, then yeah, I'd be more than happy to just do a PayPal transaction and I can send one out. If you want the album, just email me and I'll set up one, and you can we can sort that out. So no problems. All right. Atomic amp fire pedal. Question mark, question mark, question mark. That's from Bob. I think I sometimes miss the context of questions. Atomic amps. Okay. I'm on their website, just checking it out. Wait, hang on. Is the pedal $600? You're kidding me. Wow, it is a $600 pedal. Wow, it's as much as an amp. Yeah, I don't know. Sorry, guys. Yeah, I'm just looking at stuff on YouTube. Oh, no, I'm on Google there, and the Atomic amp fire pedal is expensive. But, you know, who knows? It might be great. I always open to trying things until I get to test them, and then I make my opinion on it. But I wouldn't spend $600 on a multi-effects unit. No way. I'd rather just buy the three effects that I'm going to use in analog pedals. That would just be me, though. I've made that mistake. I bought one of those Line 6 M13 things and used overdrive, delay, and tremolo. So I ended up taking it back, and I swapped it for three of those, and I got $500 refund. Have I ever used the Yamaha THR10? No, I really want to try them. I get so many questions about that amp and comments, people saying, oh, I'd love you to demo that and all that kind of stuff. And yeah, I just haven't had a chance to use one yet. It's just one of those things. I think I overlooked them by accident or something like that. And yeah, I'll have to make an effort to actually try one of those out at some point in time soon. So I should note as well, just in regards to the music question before about the album, if you do buy a physical copy, what I'll do in the meantime until it turns up, I'll send you a link. You can download the digital version of it until this actually arrives. So I just thought I'd throw that in. I'm doing that for everybody at the moment. Anyone who buys one, they're overseas. You can listen to it as soon as it's paid for, basically. I'll send you a link, download it, and then 2 weeks later or a week later, the CD will arrive. All right. Atomic amplifiers are like Axe FX. I got one. Okay, cool. Well, per Norman, I haven't used one. I'm just making a judgment call based on price. I didn't read up about it a lot. I just saw what it looked like, and I thought to myself, that's expensive. So Bingo2501 asks a bit of a different question, which is cool. He says, when did you start playing guitar? So when I was in primary school, like grade, what was it, 3 or 4, maybe, I started playing a recorder. They made us play a recorder, and I learned, you know, a whole lot of songs on that. And I played that through till grade 6. And I remember it didn't take me that long to sort of memorize the songs. I could remember the patterns on my hands kind of easily, maybe not as easily as some people, but, you know, once you do something over and over again, I remember I didn't even have to use the sheets of music that they made us look at, which was just the notes, so you didn't have to follow actual notation. And, excuse me. And then I moved on to, I played a little bit of like conga drums or bongos or whatever, you know, like I thought percussion was where I was going to go. In grade 5 or 6, I learned an E chord. And that's the first time I think I picked up a guitar. My mum strung one left-handed for me, and it was, I learnt that. I had a cousin come over who was a guitar player. I don't know what else he did, but at the time, anyway, I was a little kid, and he was cool, and he showed me how to play that. My mum was a guitarist as well. She plays classical stuff. She doesn't anymore. I've actually got her guitar. She kind of gave it up, but basically that guitar I still have today, as I mentioned earlier. And I learned maybe 3 or 4 chords between the age of leaving primary school and the end of high school. So in that time, I think towards the end of my high school or my secondary school, whatever you want to call it, was where I started learning more songs. Like I actually started to learn stuff that was on the radio or songs that I wanted to learn that were around that time. Like I remember, even though this came out years before, I learned some Chili Pepper stuff, and I learned some U2 was my favorite, one of my favorite bands in high school. So I learned a lot of that stuff. And then I was living in the US when I was 19 in Michigan. I mentioned this on the last podcast, but that's where the real big kick for playing came from. Look, I think after I left school, after I actually finished my final year of high school, I started playing a little bit more, but I didn't really, like, I wasn't jamming with anyone. I wasn't doing any of that. I'd learn a couple of songs, and that's all I knew. I learned some of the stuff that I really, you know, liked at that time. But yeah, I guess most of it came when I was in Michigan. That's when I knew I wanted to play blues more than I did ever before. A friend of mine who I worked with, Rob, was a phenomenal muso, great singer. And he showed me the blues pattern in A or in E or something. I can't really remember. I remember not knowing one of the chords. So even then I was like, wow, I don't even know what this chord is. And he's showing me the patterns. And then I heard, you know, From the Cradle, the Eric Clapton album, not knowing who that was. We're in the car driving around and I was like, it's unbelievable. Who is this? And I thought it was B.B. King. I had no idea I couldn't fathom that was Eric Clapton. I didn't know Eric played blues. Like I was oblivious, but I'd always liked blues as a kid. Like I loved the Blues Brothers show. I loved John Lee Hooker. I was already listening to blues, right? So I was listening to good guitar music already, Dire Straits, all that kind of stuff. But it wasn't until I heard that, then I went, wow, I want to start really getting into blues. So I was 19. I was playing a bit before that. Like I mentioned, I had a back injury that I couldn't do any sport really anymore for a while, for about 2 years. And, that really got me into playing guitar. I needed an outlet. I was so into sports and all that kind of stuff that I needed to do something, you know. And I guess the computer side of my personality filled part of the void, but, yeah, I needed that creative thing. Was fantastic. So I'd say 19 onwards was where I really started playing. I did my first gig in 2002, I think, with a couple of mates of mine who I still play with now, actually, some of them. And, I think when I made a decision I want to get better at guitar, I went out and I bought an instructional video called Matt Smith, A Guide to Blues Guitar, or A Beginner's Guide to Blues Guitar. Matt Smith is a phenomenal instructor. His video is fantastic. I remember just struggling. I was like, I can't do any of this stuff. And eventually I got all the way through it. So, yeah, that's a really good place to go if you know what kind of music you want to play. Yeah, it makes it real easy to learn. For me, it was like blues. That's it. I don't want to learn anything else. I don't want to learn metal. I love metal music, by the way. Back then I was right into Rob Zombie, White Zombie, all that kind of stuff. But for me then it was just like, all I want to absorb is all the blues licks I can. And, you know, I've forgotten a lot of them as well. But, yeah, even now, like when I learn something on guitar, if it's not an original thing, I'm copying a Chris Kane lick. Like that one you hear me play, like that's a Chris Kane lick as well. And so is the other one that I play. Oh. Butchered that one. So that's like a something that I ripped off recently. I don't often learn licks anymore from I don't even bother learning stuff that I'm not interested in. If I don't like the sound of it, or if it doesn't go, if I don't go, wow, what's that? I don't bother learning it. So there's so many blues licks that I hear that I go, oh, that's easy, but I don't like the sound of it. So I only play the stuff that, or rip off the stuff now that I like. Anyway, that's a long explanation of how it started and where it went. But Albert King and oh, hang on a second, Daniel. Wow, I just got a PayPal notification, man. Thank you so much. I'll shoot you the link for the download of the album, man. Let me know what you think too. Feel free to give me some feedback if you like it or not. I think you'll be impressed. I think I've worked hard on it for a long time, and I'm glad people get to hear it. They'll be able to get to hear it now. So yeah, thank you so much, man. I absolutely appreciate that. Yeah, Daniel also mentions that Albert King and Stevie Ray Vaughan's video is my favorite. Yeah, that's one of my favorites. One of the best albums of all time for blues, man. Albert, Stevie, that was the only good session that whole TV series did, was that one. They put too many weird people together in sessions, and that was the only one where they actually put some thought into it, I think. So, yeah, absolutely. Awesome album, Clapton Unplugged, got me started in the blues. That was another one too. Like, a lot of the stuff you hear me play, like... messing around with a lot of that stuff off the Unplugged album. It's great. I must have heard that a million times. And some of these licks you hear me play, like if we're in D. Oh no, is it frozen? Oh no, it's all right. Sorry, I thought it froze again. A lot of that stuff I got from the Unplugged album and looking at Clapton's approach to playing. Yeah, I remember, I can't remember the song off the top of my head, but it's like, anyway, yeah, I'd have to hear it again. But like the Layla solo is great example of movement and scales and basic stuff like that. But it feels great as well. And that's the most important thing. So yeah, a lot of the solo ideas I have also came from that Unplugged album. I think it's a great one. So yeah, there's a song that's not on that album as well, which was called Circus Left Town. Definitely check that one out. It's on YouTube. When did you realize you had quotation marks made it? Finding it hard to make the transition into lead playing. I get lost between all those scales. So the trick is, when you're learning how to play lead guitar, you pick four notes and you stick on it for 10 minutes, 20 minutes at a time. You put a backing track on and you play four notes. So for in A, you pick these four. So rather than going and playing the scales like this, you pick four notes and you don't think about the scale. So you pick these ones and you go. You move up half a step here and there with the bends and that, of course, but see what you can come up with just that box. So you keep it really, really simple, and then you'll find out that box also works here. So you keep it as simple as you can and try to think of phrasing like, you know, hi there, how are you, you know. So think of it like a conversation thing. Don't just, you know, no one wants to hear that. So you just want to play like have a break. Find where the rhythm is in the song. Bend the middle note up to this note. So that's how I would approach it. Like if I'm, you know, learning a different scale position, I'd just keep it simple. So yeah, simplify everything. Don't play up and down scales over music. That's not going to help you. The music comes from the scales. The scales isn't the music. So yeah, if you're playing that first pentatonic pattern, for example, you pick, play something high, play something low. So yeah, so you're messing with the notes. Just the musicality will come. You just need to be able to hear what you're playing. Now, this Matt Smith DVD that I was talking about before, he said the best way to learn how to play, once you know these notes and where they sit, you should be able to hum what you want to play. So play it, play these notes and hum them to yourself. Once you know how they sound, you should be able to go. And once you can start to hear the notes, like as you're singing them in your mind, you don't have to hum them out like I was just doing it. But, you know, Robert Cray's always going like. See, watch him play. Watch Robert Cray. He plays. He sings everything he plays. You'll see it in his face. And Rick does that too when you watch him. He's always like. So, he makes his jaws like where he's singing all that stuff. For me, I'm more, it's internal, but I'm still hearing what is going to come out. So my suggestion is pick just a small part of that box and play it to death. Yeah, so you want to be able to hear the creative ideas in your mind or with your voice at the same time. But that takes time. It's not something that just happens. But one day you'll wake up and it'll click. You'll go, oh, I can hear that solo now in that song, or the rough ideas of the shapes and patterns. And that happens to me. I listen to songs and I'm like, I already know, I might not know what key the song's in, for example, like a rough idea, but in my mind, I'm already picturing the licks. And there's guys that have the gift for doing that way better than me, but I still have to work at stuff when I hear it to be able to copy things. Whereas some people can picture it, play it pretty much instantly. It could be experience. It could just be a memory gift as well. But for me, like I can picture solos in my mind. And learn a couple of song solos as well, because I think once you learn, one of the first solos I learned was from a song called the Chili Peppers, I Could Have Lied. Basically, that was the first solo I remember learning, and that kind of helped me with the memory, the muscle and mind memory of playing notes and singing the solo. The best solos are the ones you can hear in your head. If you can hear something in your head like. You know, there's something to swing stuff. All that sort of stuff is ingrained in most people's memory. So sometimes learning solos that are already established can help. It becomes a huge part in being able to help you with timing, because you know where, how the solo sounds and where the notes should sit. I'm not saying go learn Sultans of Swing straight away, by the way, but pick a song that has a pretty simple solo or maybe part of a solo in the groove. You know, there's a lot of that. You know, the Creed and stuff's a great example of playing the E pentatonic scale mixed with, you know, chord stuff as well. So that could maybe be a starting point as well. And I saw one of the comments come up that said, is the Matt Smith stuff on YouTube? I think some of it is. He's got some lessons But the one that I'm talking about, he's younger and he's got a huge beard. I think he's got a big beard and he's got a green strat. That's the video that I learned a lot of my stuff from. And then after that, I moved on to a Ronnie Earl one where I learned a lot more of the finger picking sort of. Ronnie Earl was a phenomenal player. I saw him recently on YouTube and I don't know. I think something must have happened to Ronnie Earl, you know, whether or not I could be wrong. I don't want to say what I think has gone wrong with him, but he seemed a little out of it. And he was playing over the vocals and he was just all over the shop. But back in the day, man, Ronnie Earl won Blues Player of the Year for a reason. Guys, you know, he could just play those licks like. He just had so much finesse and great touch and all that kind of stuff. So he'd play the exact right thing without going too overboard and not. He was understated, maybe, is maybe why so many people liked Ronnie Earl. So definitely check him out. I'll get back to some questions now and comments. Let's just put this away. I'll grab a different guitar out as well. I'll just keep them moving. It is getting hot, man. It is so hot in here now. Whew. 1 o'clock too. All right. What guitar should I get out, people? Which one? Quicksilver says Midnight Oil. I actually love Midnight Oil. I did when I was a kid, man. Midnight Oil was the best, you know, back in the 90s, early 90s. I was a huge fan. So what guitar should I get out? So Ronald says, when you're practicing a lick, sounds like you need the sustain, reverb, and crunch to generate the musicality. Now, the sustain comes from your hands. The sustain isn't...
I'll show you.
Yeah, all right, let's go to the acoustic guitar. I'll turn my amp off, by the way. It's probably 100 degrees back there. So if you're playing a lick, right, what you want to do, in my opinion of it, someone once said to me, make every lick count. I didn't know what the hell that meant. But what it means is when you play a note, you want to put oomph into it basically as well and attack. You don't want to attack every note hard, obviously. There's dynamics thing, right? But you can make sustain work on an acoustic. This has died out now. Probably, I don't know if you can hear that over this or not, but so you want to practice slides. Like I said before, with these four notes, practice sliding into them. If you're not playing vibrato, the note will probably die a little quicker. So there's different techniques you can use. You can play vibrato as soon as you hit a note. We can slide into a note and play it slightly after. So that's no reverb. Most pro guitar players in blues and that, they don't use any reverb. That's why I use reverb, because I'm not a professional. But, yeah, so basically with sorry, I'm reading the comments as well. So basically with the trick to getting the sound is here and here. So like I said before, vibrato, to get vibrato to sound good, you got to work at that. That's not easy for everybody. And everyone thinks they want to play that B.B. King style vibrato. But look, he's a unique sort of, was a unique guy. And he's a big dude, probably had a bit more, you know, oomph behind his hand than what a lot of people had. But listen to guys like Clapton, Robert Cray, Mayer, all these dudes, phenomenal finesse. It's all about finesse. There's a song on Eric Clapton's 24 Nights called Have You Ever Loved a Woman? And the start of that is like... I don't know if that's exact now. It's been a while since I tried to replicate that. But that series of licks taught me everything about finesse. So... just that whole different note dynamics. So he's playing some stuff really soft with a short, sharp note. Some notes are holding on longer. Really use your eyes and ears and listen to these guys and just pick out the smallest little bit. If you can play two notes in a row that feel the same, then you're on the right track. It's one thing just to play like, you know, for example, or all these guys, Albert Collins, Albert King, all these dudes have just got finesse, man, and they're playing. That's something that you'll learn. Anyway, I'll grab my other guitar out. Okay.
Oh, I've turned my amp off, guys. So,
let's do it. I'll grab one more.
Why not?
The only reason I didn't grab my Little Crow out is that I didn't put the strings on that guitar.
Someone else did, and it's not strung up properly, so
it's slipping out of tune, basically, instead of putting the windings under, they're over. Anyway, it's no big deal. It's out of tune. So I've recently just fixed this guitar as well. I put some new Emerson pots in on the controls, and it is awesome. So let me just, there we go. So while I've got quite a few people here, I want to replace this neck at some point with something fatter. What do you recommend? Warmoth? Has anyone had any personal experience with them? So that would be cool. Yeah, so this is the Strat. I got the Texas or the custom Texas set. These are basically the set that Anthony Stauffer from Texas Blues Alley puts his name on. It's hard to see coming up on the camera properly, but there are pickups in this guitar. There you go. You can see him now. But I probably didn't appreciate them quite as much as I do now. I think they sound really good, and they're definitely up there with the Bardens. Yeah, the Strats has just got a different sound. I kind of went off it for a while. But that's really nice, man. That neck and middle. Middle. Steeliness there on that bridge pickup, which is something that I like now. So basically my volume pot on here was faulty. I didn't realize how bad it was, but it was to a point where I lost volume and oomph on my entire sound. So it was like, it feels and sounds even better than it did. Like, the problem was intermittent. Sometimes it would be fine. Other times I'd take it out, I'd be like, what's wrong with this guitar? It sounds awful. And then I found out, the volume pot was faulty. So I've replaced that So that like Clapton finesse thing I was showing you. Look it up. It's pretty much the same lick as that, give or take a few notes, but it's all about the feel. You want to capture that, you want to try to capture the feel of the playing more so than just where the notes sit. Anyway. All right, so Quicksilver said it's 3 a.m. there, so have a good night, man. Thanks for stopping in. I absolutely appreciate that. And, it's 1 o'clock p.m. here, so it's almost beach time, I think. I'm going to go get sunburnt. No, I won't. I just want to go for a swim. Strat and Fender amp equals win. That's what Carlos says, and I agree. Classic combination, can't go wrong. Daniel says, Ernie Ball. I must have missed something here. I'm not too sure, but anyway, I apologize. Actually, James may be cheaper than going to Walmart. Shoot him an email. All right, James, who? Sorry, I might have missed some stuff here. Feel free to just chuck links in the chat room and we can I'll check it out. Yeah, I really love the look of this guitar. It's real classic. It's made like, well, it was like a deluxe version of an original style Strat. But yeah, it was, you know, had all the modern upgrades and all that, but it was, the finish is really classic, two-tone sunburst, whatever. And I had the big, nice 50th emblem thing on the back of this and also on the case, which that case I took it out of isn't the actual case. It's in the cupboard. But, yeah, it's got the locking tuner heads and everything on there. So, yeah, it's a really nice Strat, you know. And I think just the sound of Strats, well, I wasn't into it as much lately. But, yeah, I'm coming back. Oh, James Cargill. Okay, yeah, well, I know who that is. So, yeah, that's right. That's who does all my guitar work, man. Well, unless I do it myself. But, yeah, when I need new frets, I take it to him. He's the best. Can you solo on an acoustic? You can, absolutely can. You want to see the best guy ever solo on an acoustic? And I say ever, meaning he comes to Trolls. Listen to Dave Matthews' live album with Tim Reynolds, I think it is. Holy crap. Like, you want to hear some killer guitar solos, man? That guy runs rings around everybody. He's just unbelievably good. You think, oh, the blues guy's this, the blues guy's that, or the rockers, whatever. Man, Tim Reynolds plays his ass off. I've never heard an acoustic guitar player sound better than him in terms of lead, like single note lead stuff and that. He's the best. He's not the Tommy Emmanuel finger picking, you know, crazy chords, 15,000 chords every minute kind of guy. But it feels great and it sounds good. And that's what it's all about, not about playing 5,000 chords. All right. So Rummy73 asks, any ladies show up at your blues jams in your area? Yeah, but not often. It just depends. It depends on the area. Like, there used to be a venue down the road here that, absolutely, I met some cool chicks down there and that I'm still friends with now, some of them at least anyway. But, yeah, it's just, the scene's more of a guy thing, you know. People, most guitar players are guys, but you get the singers. The singers are usually women as well, so it's a bit of a mixed crowd. All right. Gear Repairs and Rants is a beautiful Strat. Love the tone and finish. Thanks, man. Yeah, it's taken me a while. I've played it. Put every set of pickups under the sun in this, including hand-wired Abigail Ybarra pickups and Fat 50s and Johnny Hyland's signature model of pickups. And it was either too buzzy or it was just not quite stratty enough. These are the first pickups that I've had. And you know what? If I was lucky enough to get a set of these from Zex Coil because Anthony Stauffer had a spare set, so he sent me some down. And then Zex Coil made me a left-handed set. Which was cool, and I gave my other set to a friend of mine that still sound like a Strat with no buzz, and not having buzz is awesome. I guess I'm not old school enough to appreciate the single cycle whatever it's called. I'm just, yeah. All right. So Hey You says, I meant, can you show us some soloing on an acoustic guitar? I guess I could. It's kind of weird soloing on an acoustic guitar with no music. But I should have got a loop station out. Next time I do it, I'll maybe
think about that.
But I don't know. Soloing on an acoustic guitar is different stuff. I mean, you can just play It's the same. I just pretty much thinking like I do on an electric guitar. They say the cork sniffer acoustic guitar players say you shouldn't bend notes on acoustic guitar, but screw that. I'm not going to play an acoustic guitar like I would. With that in mind, like, you can't bend a string on an acoustic guitar. That's ridiculous. Like, listen to Tim Reynolds, man. The guy's a monster. He does everything on his acoustic guitar that he could do on electric guitar, I guess. And, man, screw the rules. I don't think Jimi Hendrix was paying attention to that stuff either. All right, so Tyler, Oliver asks, wanted to get a Mexican-made Strat and slowly upgrade over time. Do you recommend that? Let's just put it out like this. The Mexican Strat I had that I got in Chicago or Austin or somewhere like that was the nicest sounding Strat I'd ever have, and it was all stock. I changed the pickups in that, and I shouldn't have. So you may not even need to upgrade it. So if you like the sound of it in the shop, buy it, and you might not need to do anything to it. I don't think there's anything wrong with the hardware on those guitars. I don't think there's anything wrong with the finish. The neck finish now is better than it's ever been on Mexican Strats in terms of the varnish and all the, you know, the matte sort of finish they're using as well. So, just don't upgrade something just because you can. Upgrade it if you need to. But my suggestion is Mexican Strats sound probably more like Strats than anything else. They're just made like they're made very bare bones and very simple, like they would have been back in the old days. So a lot of guys would say that they're very, very true to the original design, whereas, you know, you got new stuff with the S1 switches and the bloody push-pull pots and the extra, you know, you don't need that stuff. All right, so what do we got here? How long have we been going? An hour and... I've been going... Oh, wow, I've been going for a while. Far out. It's 2 hours, guys. Where's the time gone? What time is it on your side of the world? Just punch me in some timestamps so I can see how dedicated you crazy guys are. I say crazy lovingly, of course. All right. 4 a.m. Far out. Oh, man. All right. Wow. So it's p.m. everywhere. Oh, well, nighttime everywhere else. You know what I might have to do? I might have to do this like 7 p.m. my time maybe. And that'll be like daytime everywhere else. There's only a few. There's a guy up the road here, Ben, who is not far from me, I'm pretty sure, and he's on my time, so he's doing all right. Should be going for a swim today too, man. It's going to be a stinker. All right. Wow. 10 p.m. Yeah, that's kind of – I thought 9 to 10 – 8 to 10 p.m. would be like somewhere in the U.S., so that's what I was thinking, because most of my audience is in – is overseas, believe it or not. I think Australia's like fifth on my list. So on my analytics anyway. And that's not in terms of favoritism. It's just in terms of because there's so many more people in other parts of the world that are into this stuff. So yeah. Okay, that's cool. Thanks, guys. Thanks for all the timestamps there. And gear repairs, I said, great advice on the Mech Strats. Good point. That goes with anything unless you need to repair something. Yeah, so unless something's faulty on a Mexican Strat, if you like the sound of it, don't mess with it. Like I said, the biggest mistake I made, I had a white Strat I've got on the cover of another album that I had. And it was the one that you'll see on YouTube. I had the Texas Longhorn sticker on there for a while. Yeah, I got it in Texas. That's where the stickers come from. And, basically that guitar sounded so good. There's a video of me jamming with this guy in Chicago called Sammy Fender. And he's a dude, man. This guy is open for Buddy Guy, and he does a lot of gigs. He's phenomenal. He's dressed in white, total class, man. And I was just plugging into a Chicago Blues Box amp, I think it was. And, man, the tone was awesome. I played with a pedal that they had, which probably fizzed my sound out a bit, but that tone was the best Strat sound I reckon I had up until at least my current, you know, setup. So... yeah, you might not need to do much with it. All right. So Ben asks, also, does anyone know
a Strat style guitar that has a no caster kind of neck that isn't a custom shop. Do you mean no caster, like a Telecaster shaped neck, or do you mean like a particular type of like 50s fat round neck? Good morning, Thailand. Jade is in the house, so thanks for stopping in. I have a Walmart neck, and it's really nice. That's from Gary. Thanks for the feedback. A mate of mine builds right-handed guitars from those parts, and I'm yet to really hear any bad feedback about Walmart. They're just because of the Australian dollar's so bad at the moment that it's like half the price of a normal guitar at the moment. You might as well just see if you can order a different neck online there, Ben. Maybe try the Walmart route as well. Might be where I'll have to go to, or get it locally if I can. But sometimes it's pretty tough. All right, guys. Well, I'm sweating up a storm, and it's pretty late everywhere where you guys are. So I absolutely appreciate everyone stopping in. If anyone's got any last questions, please fire them through now, and I'd be more than happy to cover anything that I haven't covered. I did have a couple of notes that I was going to go over, which I haven't even gone to. So one thing I will mention too is that, as you may or may not know, I posted a thing on Facebook or wherever it was that I said I did an interview with Will from Will's Easy Guitars, you know, the Tonewood guy. So we did that, and you know what? It's funny because a lot of people are like, oh, why are you interviewing this guy, whatever. But I think everyone is going to enjoy the videos where it's like two dudes talking like this. So I think you're going to like it because, it doesn't cover the kind of things that you might be expecting. He's actually a pretty pleasant dude. And, so I just wanted to throw that in there. I've never talked to him before doing this interview. I've never corresponded with him or anything. But as terms as a podcast go, I think it's one of the better ones, definitely. The last two I've done have been great with David and also with Will. So I'm hoping to get Greg Koch on eventually. He said he was going to do it. I'm just waiting for him to free up some time. He's been traveling a lot, moving house and all that kind of thing. So fingers crossed with that. So all right, so those videos with Will start the first Tuesday of next month. I've got all of this month already scheduled with the freaking prawn one or the David one. So they're all going to be there. Going Tuesdays and Thursdays till the end of the month, and then next month will be the ones with Will. But the podcast will be available on iTunes and Android and all that kind of stuff, and at guitarpedaldemos.com. Probably, I reckon next week I'll make it live. So, it won't be too far away. Yeah, so when Hey You asks when I was soloing using the four notes, were you only on two strings? Yes, yeah, because basically this pattern, you can use that here. You can use it here. So once you kind of get that, you'll play a riff somewhere and you can move it to somewhere else and play it the exact same thing. So that'll open up the guitar a little bit for you as well. Yeah, there's a whole lot of different places, but that's what I would suggest. Learn a couple of easy licks and then find out where they work. Yeah, and it'll open up the fretboard a lot more for you. Have you tested the Occo Diablo Plus pedal? Haven't heard of that. So, no, I'm not laughing at Per Norman. I'm laughing at Rummy now. Hey, thanks for stopping in, man. And I have been talking too long, so I gotta shoot off as well. But it's been a lot of fun. Thanks for your input and questions, all that kind of stuff. Appreciate that. I'll catch you on the next one. Yeah, so Ben says, Greg Koch, yeah. I've met him once before, actually. He's a really lovely guy, and he's almost 7 foot tall. He's huge. He's one of the biggest guys I've ever stood next to, except for Moses Malone from the LA,
from the NBA.
Sorry, so, yeah. And I've actually met James Worthy a long time ago. He's a big guy too, but Greg Koch's massive, man. He's a massive, massive guy. So Tim says, congrats on the album release. Thank you so much. I've been working so hard on that last sort of month, just finishing things off vocally. And then I had glitches with the hard drive and I almost lost everything and backed it up just in time. But yeah, it would have killed me had I lost it all, but it's all done. So yeah, guys, what I might do is go out and go for a walk in the water and relax for a while. And yeah, it's just the, It's getting stinking hot in here and I'm starting to fade. My voice is sore. So I might shoot off. And I just want to say thanks again for hanging out with me. The official live stream too. I may actually try and put something together again for the next one, but I kind of like just, you know, hanging out, talking to whatever comes up in the chat room over here. So it's cool. So have a great evening. Have a great day. Have a great morning, wherever you are. And I'll catch you all pretty soon. And, yeah, loads of videos going up this month. So if you don't like something one day, come back the next day because there's going to be lots of stuff going up. I got a video scheduled all the way through till the end of the year. So, yeah, if I don't speak to you in person again on a live stream, have a great Christmas or holidays, all that kind of stuff. Have a safe New Year's. And keep rocking, or keep losing, I should say.